Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 7th day of July, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Come Out of Babylon. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shemai, and welcome to the program, Cumri Ambith. Callers will be welcomed later on in the program. We do ask, of course, that everybody watches language and also courtesy on the air. Try not to walk on top of other people that may be speaking, etc. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody's muted upon entering into the call until such time as you indicate you wish to speak. Then you'll be put in a queue, and I answer each caller in order that they come into the queue. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And again, we remind you there's a Daily Mail page there. There's also a Listen Live page that describes how to log into the calls, and it has a schedule up of calls to come in the near future. With everything that's going on, I recommend that you check it from time to time. Especially if I don't have time to put out an email notice for the folks that use that. It would be a handy way to check on the status of things. What a crazy time. I mean, we've been on the radio now. We're getting very, very close to the 22nd anniversary mark. So for over two decades, warning people about what was coming, of course, everybody thought we were crazy. But we're beginning to find out that, if anything, we underestimated the wickedness of the evil ones. We also underestimated just how stupid people are today and how cowardly people are in general. It's utterly amazing to me. Utterly amazing. So, we have a lot to learn, a lot to look out for, and just making some notes here. So again, we're going to share some information with you as we talk about coming out of Babylon. You know, a lot of people think Babylon is literal, as the ancient city was. They don't understand it's symbolic at this point in time. Babylon is not a literal city. It's a system, a world system, that has got our people trapped, and they're using the seductive powers of images, because images are very powerful. Our ancestors knew that. You got to remember, it wasn't until the modern era that images through modern technology were able to be manipulated. It used to be that your eyes were the only thing that could pick up images. And so it used to be a saying, if you could see it, then you could believe it. But you didn't believe things that you read about or things that were told to you or things that were written in print. So see, the old saying, even when I was a boy, was seeing is believing. However, with modern technology, that's not always true. Because the images can be literally created out of thin air. Using computers and green screens, they can create almost any image they want. So you cannot trust the images controlled by the beast, the images of controlled by the beast. And they've used it to such a powerful extent today that it's utterly amazing. Our people are like zombies. They literally don't know how to think for themselves. They react completely emotionally to images that drive them. We're going to go to Psalm 18, verse 30 here for a reading. As for Elohim God, His way is perfect. Yahweh's word is tried. He is a shield to all those who take refuge in him. You might want to put Psalm 91 right up against this one as well. For he is truth. I've been reading in the book Poets and Prophets, or Poets and, yeah, Prophets and Poets for the Last Days by Michael Marlowe. And he has a lot of excerpts in it from the Arantxa book, which kind of expands upon Scripture, especially when he gets into the words of Christ. And they make a lot of sense. They make a lot of sense. But he's talking about a lot of things in there, explaining the spiritual nature of our people and the vibrational energy that we have by our thoughts and our motives. And a lot of people say, well, that sounds hokey, but if you read the Scriptures, for the most part, they're telling you the exact same thing. That's why it's said to keep your thoughts pure. Okay, as a man thinketh, so he is. Okay, so if your mind is always on doing evil or lustful things, then you're probably going to do them. Okay, as you think, so you are. So again, if you take the Scriptures, especially instead of trying to be literal about everything, but if you take the principles that are being taught, that's one of the reasons I do not like that they took each book of the Bible and divided it into chapters and verses. I think that was a mistake. When you read a novel, when you read a textbook, if you read a history book and all, it's not divided up into paragraphs and sentences. You read the whole story. If you don't read the whole story, you don't get the author's intent. And so it is with Scripture. So often we get people who take the book and the chapter and the verse, but they leave out all the other stuff before and after it. So you don't get, quote, the whole story. So personally, I think that was a mistake. And Christ himself never referred to even actual books. All he had to say was, is it not written? Okay? Is it not written? So he was just referring to the fact that the prophets and writings, etc., were available, and that people should know what they had written. Okay, he didn't care about which prophet. He didn't care about what chapter in his writings or anything like that. So I think it's a disservice to our people today to concentrate solely on books, chapters, and titles. We need to pick up the principles being taught so that our people understand it. So very good. Very good there. And again, his ways are perfect. His ways are above our ways. And we, Angel says here, need context. That's exactly right. If you take things out of context, then you're liable to be misled. So again, you want to focus on motive, and you want to focus on the intent. It's much like our ancestors when they said that the wording of a law was not as important as the intent of a law. Does that make sense? Okay, and of course it does, okay? In other words, when you write a law, what's important to remember is what's the intention of the law, not the wording of it. Because people can manipulate words, which we've seen from Bill Clinton and Obama and all the rest of the shysters that have sat in the Oval Office. They mince words. They dissect words. They twist and turn the meanings of words. Whereas the founding fathers and our ancestors understood that you can't twist intent. As long as the people are shown the intent. For instance, the Second Amendment. They argue over the wording and try to get the wording to change so that they can convince us that we don't have a right to bear arms. But the intent, they cannot change. And anybody that does any research at all knows the intent of the Second Amendment was that we, the people, were to be armed at all times to keep and bear, meaning to possess and carry, weapons of whatever choice we want. And they even said, shall not be infringed. Okay, what's the intent of the wording there? The intenting is that your servants, called public servants or government officials, have no authority to infringe on your God-given right to keep and possess and bear, carry arms at all times, because they're for your defense and your loved ones at all times, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it doesn't make one tinker's damn where you carry those weapons. Government, public servants, our servants have no right, no authority, no jurisdiction on the matter of our personal safety. None. Get that through your heads. Okay, it's going to become very important here, because they're trying very hard to convince you that they have a right to limit your ability to defend yourself, because the communists are getting ready to make their move. Now, I know that's it triggers people to hear that, but that's the facts. You're witnessing a communist insurgency. Please, it's obvious. And it's also just as obvious that communism is 100% Jewish. Always has been. That's not hyperbole. That's not conjecture. That's not fairy tale. That's fact. For anybody that takes even a tiny bit of time to research it out. Now, I admit, there's a lot of simpletons and morons walking this earth that they don't have a clue, and they will never have a clue, okay? We can't do a damn thing for them. They're the same ones putting a face diaper on. They're the same ones running out and getting tested. They're the same ones that run down to 23andMe and get their DNA checked. I'm sorry. Again, I don't mean to step on toes, but I'm not here at this late date and late hour in our history to make friends. I really don't care if you like me or not. I don't care if you consider me a friend or not. That is inconsequential. What does matter is the survival of your family and mine. What does matter is what is the truth. I've got plenty of friends and people I love that have done silly things recently, like getting tested. I've said from day one, don't let these sons of bitches touch you. How many of my loved ones do I have to lose and tell you about it before that sinks in? You do not trust these sons of bitches in the medical mafia with your lives. You cannot do it. All right? I'm just sorry you can't. Even when you know somebody who's trustworthy in that profession, you cannot trust the other people. And a case in point is my beloved cousin that I just lost on the 2nd of July. He went into the hospital from a motorcycle wreck. And I asked his brother if he had taken the vaccine. He said no. But he was recovering over a week later in the hospital. He was recovering. He was happy. He was in good spirits. He was able to get out of bed on his own and go to the bathroom, which anybody that's ever been to a hospital knows that's huge. That's a huge sign that you're coming through the operations, which he had several. He had broken bones, broken ribs, crushed spleen. I mean, he had a lot of, he went down hard on that motorcycle. And he was recovering from all that and getting ready to come home and finish his recovery on home. And that was the 1st of July. On the 2nd of July, I got the phone call that my cousin, as close to me as a brother, in both age and personality, was gone. Just like that. Went from doing very well, getting ready to go home, and gone. And he will be laid to rest in a few days. So, again, he didn't want that material put in his body, but who's to say that some intern, some nurse, or some doctor who the administrators have told in private that when you get a stranger or somebody coming in that's unconscious or seriously hurt, stick them with the vaccine. Are you going to tell me you don't think that's possible? Of course it's possible, because I was told that the only thing they can figure out as to why he passed on was a blood clot. And normally, by the time you've recovered to the point where he was, blood clotting is not an issue, because he was up and moving around. Usually it's blood clotting comes about because of laying still and not moving your arms and legs and getting your body up and down, okay, which he was doing. So blood clotting should not have been an issue. So 67 years old and my cousin's gone already, a little bit like my sister at 62, gone. My mother and father, both of them taken from me early, thanks to the medical mafia. I don't know how much more of this we have to see before we get it straight. And then I share this with you, not because it's going to make any difference for them, obviously. I've lost them. I can't get them back in this world. The point is, I'm trying to get it out there amongst the brothers and sisters that they'll pass it on to their loved ones so that fewer people get hurt. How much more do we have to see? How much more racial tension and racial violence against the white race? How much more control of the Jews over what happens in our Christian constitutional republic, which is an anathema to them? You know that, right? They hate all of that. They hate republics, they hate white, and they hate Christian. They hate it all. And if you're silly enough to think that Jews are white people, you're crazy. You haven't looked into it at all. They are an alien race. And we've talked about Thayer's Greek lexicon, where it goes into the word eudaios, which is translated as Jew. And in that Greek lexicon, it says that the writings of John, who was the beloved apostle, the writings of John in the Greek language is such as that he ascribed to the Jews and their race as if they came, they were total strangers with nothing in common with Christ and his disciples, and they sprang from an alien race. That's right there in a Greek lexicon. Lexicon is the same as dictionary. Okay? It's a textbook on the Greek language from the days of Christ. Okay? Right out of that textbook. If you go to Blue Letter Bible and do a word search for the word Jew, and you go do the references to the Thayer's Greek lexicon, you can find that page right out of that lexicon. The same exact lexicon I've got on my bookshelf. It's online. The exact same page. So, once again, the truth isn't hard to find. It's out there, if you're searching for it. See, that's the problem. We don't have many truth seekers. We got people that want their ears tickled. Tell me the smooth things, Dan. Don't be telling me the hard things. Don't tell me that I've made mistakes. Don't tell me that I'm putting my own life and the loved ones that I'm responsible for, putting their lives. Don't tell me that, Dan. Tell me the good stuff. Tell me how I'm going to go to heaven and God loves everybody and it really doesn't matter what their DNA is. It doesn't matter if they're race mixers or not. It doesn't matter if they're blasphemers. It doesn't matter if they're homosexuals or trannies or pedophiles. Because, you know, what would Jesus say, Dan? He just loves everybody. Come to me, all of those who are burdened and heavy laden. Come here. I just love you all to death. You just come right on over here. You're part of my family. Yeah, I guess 1488 is referring to the Amish country in Pennsylvania. That's actually interesting. You talked about me moving back there. That might not be so far out of the question. It's kind of funny because earlier today I was thinking about that because this area is atrocious. It is so anti-white. It is so mixed multitude, and the corporations that own property management and things in this area, they are dumber than rocks, and they are as corrupt as hell. It's making it very difficult to stay down here. It really is. And just earlier today, I was thinking about my family and children and all that are still up north. I love the weather down here, but I sure as hell do not like the demographics. Okay? Not even close. I saw a note here. Let me real quick check out the comment section because I thought I saw something. 96% white in Adams County, Pennsylvania. Well, that would certainly be good. Gettysburg just had a successful reenactment. Hardly any blacks in sight. Well, that's good too. They shouldn't be there. But Ralph, I thought I had something here. Red counties in every state, even in Illinois. Oh, the vast majority of our counties are red. That's the insanity of today. This whole charade of an election. You don't have fair elections. And by the way, that's another thing. I hope people understand that when you have lost the ability to have a fair and honest election, your country's no longer working. You do understand that, right? Your constitutional republic, in effect, has been destroyed. You don't have one. If you can't get an honest election, it's gone. When the criminals control the ballot box and the counting process, it's gone. It's over. When you can't control your borders to keep the illegals from invading, it's over. Okay? It's already over. You're like a drowning man hanging on to a flotation device, gasping for a few more gulps of air to pretend that your constitutional republic still exists. It's gone. Okay? You don't have fair elections. You don't have anything in this country that resembles what the Founding Fathers set up. Okay? You don't have anything. First of all, they set it up that only white people had constitutional rights. Okay? Only white people. And if you say that's not true, well, then you're a dumbass. Because you got to go look at Federalist Paper Number 2 by John Jay, where it is very clear this country was founded for and by white Europeans. Period. That's all. Then you've got to go to Supreme Court sites where there were court cases decided clear up to the late 1800s, long past the end of the Civil War, where the Supreme Court of the United States threw out cases by non-whites because they had no jurisdiction. They had no standing before the Supreme Court. And one of the sites that I read, even it was even stated by the justices that you have no rights and the Constitution only gave these rights to white people, and you're not white. So they didn't even have any constitutional rights, okay? They couldn't even argue my rights were violated because they didn't have any. Rights only belong to citizens, and citizenship belonged to white people only. And public service, jury boxes, and casting ballot only applied to white men who had qualifications of an elector. Okay, so not just being a white male let you be any of those three things. You had to be a white male who was trusted, respected in the community, understood biblical law, understood constitutional law, etc., and was sober and of sound mind. So they had qualifications, which we don't have any today. We've got complete morons casting about. And that's all being done on purpose by your enemy, as again an indication that you've lost your country. You don't, it's gone, folks. So it's fun to put up a flag and celebrate the 4th, because it did happen. We had an Independence Day, but we, the posterity of our founding fathers, have let it all go because we didn't have the courage to stand up and fight for it. We didn't have the courage to face the ugly truths of the day, that we had invaders coming into our land, that we had Jews like Freud and others, Edward Bernays and other Jews writing books and putting out propaganda that white people were privileged, white people should feel guilty because they have so much, white people need to allow all these non-whites in and give them all kinds of material goods and authority and let them hold public office, etc. Well, take a look around you. How's that working out? Okay, it's pretty obvious to me how it's working out, but how do you folks feel about how it's working out? That's the question. Are you happy with it? Or do you see the absolute trauma and degradation of our sacred country and our sacred laws and our sacred institutions called marriage and family and childhood? Okay, we murder the unborn. We're murderers. Do you know how many millions of children have been butchered by the baby mills, which make money for Jewish organizations, etc.? They're the ones behind it, because it comes out of the Talmud. Yeah, the whole idea of killing a baby and using it for profit is a concept that comes out of their holy book, the Talmud. It's a Jewish thing, okay? The signs of the Jewish takeover of this country are so vast, it's amazing to me that somebody can't see it today. How could you not see it? It's in front of your face. But then again, we have a pandemic that doesn't exist other than in the television tube and on the media, okay? All around you, there's no sign of a pandemic. None. Never has been. It's all made up, and yet we still got people running around like it's real. Are you shitting me? People are that damn stupid? Yeah, they are, Dan. Yeah, they are. They're so damn stupid, it beggars description. Putting a filthy diaper on your face, full of bacteria, germs, spit, and everything else, contaminated to hell, and yet they think it's protecting them. Why? Because their God, their Jewish God called the flat screen, told them it was good, told them that there's something to be afraid of, even though everything around them said, wait a minute, there's not people falling over. My brother went up by the hospital and there's nobody there. There's no lines of people. There never has been. And here we are, a year and a half later, still walking around. There are people walking around thinking this exists, thinks there's actually a pandemic. That this diaper on the face is going to protect them. And now, even more insane, they think putting an untested, unapproved, toxic serum into their body, which will create many problems, unless you happen to be a lucky one that gets a placebo, which means a fake saline water solution one, because they do have a few of them out there, just so they can say, look, see, this person got a vaccination and nothing happened to him. Okay, if you're one of the lucky ones that got a little bit of salt water shot into your arm, you're going to be okay. But if the people that got the actual so-called vaccine, which it is not, the serum, the toxic serum, I know lots of people, friends, relatives, one of my ex-wives, one of my daughters who put this shit in their body, and they suffered for it. Now, so far, it doesn't look like it's permanent, but it's too early to know that for sure yet. But they did suffer for weeks and weeks. Our good friend Mike, I talked to him, and his parents went through hell after getting that thing for many weeks. And if it does that to you in the short term, you don't know what it's going to do in the long term, and none of it is good. The whole problem with the jab is why would you put a substance that you can't trust into your body when it gets you nothing? There is absolutely nothing to gain from this substance in your body. Why would you put it in there? Okay, maybe I'm just a simple farm boy from Amish country, Pennsylvania. And my dear cousin would understand if he was here. I mean, he's on the other side looking over at us now. But why would you do that? Why would any thinking, caring person do that? So the fact that many people are lining up for this retarded and dangerous substance to be jabbed into their arm, it just tells me that people are uninformed, they're afraid, they're paranoid, they're schizophrenic, they're hypochondriacs, but they're not well informed, they are not courageous, and they're not truth seekers. Because if you were a truth seeker, this information's out there. So I did tell some folks, I received an email that after I'd sent some information out about this book, that I would talk about it a little bit. And it's called Honoring My Father and Mother by Sam Simpson. And Sam is S-A-M-M, Sam Simpson, a lady. I've emailed her and asked her to check my website out and see if she's interested in coming on the show to talk about this book. She has a picture on the back cover of the tombstone for her mother and father, and she's got Yahweh's name in Paleo Hebrew on it. So she sounds like she's one of us. Sounds like it. In the back of it, she has here that, "Thank you for spending your heartbeats and breath reading this missive. Yahweh willing, for a time and a season, copies can be ordered at thebookpatch.com. Again, that's thebookpatch, P-A-T-C-H.com. That's where I ordered the book. And her email is fifth, spelled out, F-I-F-T-H, fifth commandment, altogether, at protonmail.com. So you can talk to Sam. Now, Sam was a radio broadcaster in the 1970s, so she's been around for a while. And then some time on television followed that. And she's been a political and social activist. She's written thousands of TV and radio scripts, produced and directed hundreds of TV and radio broadcasts, and penned a bevy of unpublished short stories and poems. So I was just going to talk a little bit about it because I've just started reading it up front, but it's amazing how many references to scripture. And she wrote this book, copyrighted in 2019, so it's a fairly new edition. So Honoring My Father and Mother. And the main thing I liked about it was that I've had similar thoughts, because this has to do with the burial rites of our people. So, I'm looking for a particular passage I read in here. In the beginning of it here, she goes, "There is no hope in man. Indeed, there never has been. Solomon, the wisest one who ever lived, remarked that every man, even in his best state, is altogether vanity. I concur wholeheartedly. I am grateful that my mother and my father will not see what is coming, and I ache for the children born in these biometric totalitarian times." And then she says, "I also agree with his final conclusion," meaning Solomon, Fear Yahweh, do His commands. This is the whole duty of man. That's out of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. And then in big print, she's got, repent, America, the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. Now, you might say, what's that got to do with a book about burial? Well, because in the beginning here, and I'm not going to read it over the air. If you're interested, get the book. It's only like $10. But she goes into what is done to our loved ones when the burial mafia, which is very similar to the medical mafia, get a hold of our loved ones and they're out of our sight. You know, I knew some Cuban people down here, Caucasian Cubans, when they came here in the 1950s, and I got talking to them. You know, it's their tradition, even to this day, that when a loved one goes into a clinic or a hospital, a family member never leaves their side at any time, because that's their culture. Now, the doctors down here apparently tolerate that, because I know a lot of places where doctors will not allow you into like surgery and places like that. But they insist that they're either there or they're behind glass in a like an audience room where you can watch everything being done. And you might say, well, why is that? Well, like I've told you, I spent a month with my son in the hospital in Pennsylvania when he had emergency surgery and he had irritable bowel problems, and I slept in his room with him. I slept on a couch for 30 days because I did not trust the chief surgeon in charge of his health care. So I took 30 days and spent that time in there. So I got to see a lot, especially at night. And I had many of the young nurses come and talk to me about what was going on and about this particular surgeon and the fact that he was basically an asshole, egotistical asshole. And I said, well, I can certainly tell that because I'm a naturopath. So I was trying to get as much natural things done as possible. And I questioned him on many of the things they were doing. And I found out there were a lot of things they were doing were wrong, were unnecessary. And they put my son's life at risk. I was also there the night the nurse put the wrong figure into the feeding tube machine, and he went into diabetic shock. Okay? We could have lost him. His blood sugar went down to 35. For any of you medical people, you know that's dangerous. That's called diabetic shock. You can die from that. When your blood sugar gets that low, okay? Because remember, it's the sugar in the blood that's feeding energy to the cells of the body. If it goes too low, your cells die. And if cells die in great enough number, organs shut down, okay? So that's how serious it can be. And I was there the night that happened. So, again, how many of our loved ones have we had harmed or even died at the hands of the medical mafia, and yet you're told it was unknown what happened, or as in the case of my cousin, well, it looks like it could have been a clot. Well, it also could have been you jabbed him with that vaccine, with that serum. It could have been the medical mafia made a mistake. It could have been he was poisoned. We don't know. The point of it is you don't know. If you're not there to keep an eye on your loved ones, you don't know. You're saying, oh, come on, Dan, they wouldn't do something like that. Really? I just got done telling you. I spent 30 days watching how a major hospital, now, this was not a fly-by-night hospital in the middle of Pennsylvania, and this is a hospital where my cousin is a senior nurse. She's worked her entire career practically at this hospital. So it's not like our family's not known there. And yet these kind of things were happening to us. And this is a hospital where my own relation worked there, is well respected there. And yet these things happened. And I told her about them. And she was not that surprised. Okay, so don't tell me that we just turn a blind eye to what these people do and just assume they'll be honest. Just assume they'll take as good a care of your loved ones as you would. Bad assumption. And so this whole book is about what they do in the, what she calls the funeral business. And, you know, it's ironic, and the timing of coming across her in this book is amazing, because this has been a subject on my mind for quite some time. We need to get back to basics. And we need to get back to doing things how our father intended, and not so a bunch of diabolical, satanic misfits walking amongst us can regulate us. And do you know what it costs today to bury a loved one? Are you even remotely aware of what they charge for this shit? Not to mention what the hell they do to our loved ones. I was sickened as I read this. This is almost as disturbing as when I looked into circumcision. Abortion and circumcision, and what heinous, diabolical things those two things are. Diabolical. There is no justification for either one of them. None. And then I get this little book, and it goes into all the shit these sons of bitches do. And why do we do it? Because, Dan, that's what always is done. That's what our elders did. What did Yahweh say about worshiping gods of your fathers? In other words, making idols and gods of institutions or the tradition of your elders. How much do we do without even thinking about it? And I thought about it, and I'm guilty of this, just like the rest of you. Okay? I sent my sons off to be traumatized and circumcised. I did that. I regret it. If I could go back in time, I would certainly not have it done. If I could go further back in time, I would prevent my mother and father from having it done to me and my brother. Because why? They just believed the medical people. It's what everybody did. They were told it's just what you do. But then you start looking into it and you find out it's hideous. When you really stop and think about it, it is barbaric and hideous. The things we do, and just accept. We're worse than the Babylonians. We're worse because we should know better. We have information at our fingertips as fast as the speed of light over electronic media. You can find out almost anything if you want to know the truth. And yet we still do these absolutely barbaric things. And the reason I'm reading this book, and I'm hoping that she'll come onto the program, is I want to find out how she was able to circumvent the monsters in government and even the church. She circumvented all that so that her mother and father were laid to rest as Yahweh intended. Okay? Why do we go through all this? Because people want to see a body. They put our loved ones through this so that we can take our time and everybody can travel and we can come up to the casket and see them in the casket and say goodbye. Even though, does it really look like them? I can tell you, after looking at my family members and all, it didn't really look too much like them. And then to read what they've done to them in order to present them in that form, so that they don't show signs of what they went through in death. See, again, it gets back to, do we do it for them or do we do it for ourselves? Because we're weak and we're sentimental. We think with our emotions. So because emotionally I'm sad and I want to see my loved one, like my father, I wasn't there when he passed. But as I looked at him laying in that casket, I had an epiphany and realized that that's not my father. That's not my father laying there. So what difference would it have made if we had buried him the way Yahweh intended and our ancestors did for thousands of years? Why was it better that he had all this stuff done to him by the mortuary and the funeral home, all these things done to him just so I could travel for a day and get there and see what remained of his body? Think about that. Is that for him or for me? I think it would honor our family more if we did it the way our father said to do it, wouldn't it? Maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure I'll get some feedback on this issue, but the more I think about it, Guest 1488 says, let me read this here. I know exactly what you mean, Dan. That's what I felt looking at my dad in the coffin. Okay, well, then you know what I'm talking about. See, that's the thing. People that have been through the same things that we're talking about here, they have a pretty good idea. Younger people, you've got some years to go. When I was younger, I didn't think about a lot of this stuff. I wish I had, but I didn't. And now that I'm older and I've lived through life and I've seen it, I've felt it, I've seen the results, and I've also felt the pain of watching loved ones that I thought when I was younger they would be here forever. And now I'm one of the oldest members of my family, and I've lost many of my friends and family over the years, many, many of them. And so I ask these questions. And I have younger people coming up and asking me now, young married couples, should we get our son circumcised? I tell them no. If you're asking my opinion, I'm going to tell you what my opinion is. No way in hell would I put my son through that. And I don't think you should either. And one day your son's going to thank you and me for us having this discussion. One day these young men, when they grow up, they're going to thank us because we went against the tide. We went against the herd mentality. And I think the same thing can be said when we get to the other side of the firmament with our loved ones that's already on the other side. If we were to go back and start doing things the way we should, not allowing the medical mafia to torture them, not allowing the medical mafia to do many of the things it's doing today, and also not allowing the funeral industry to get away with what they're doing, desecrating our loved ones for profit. A lot of it's for profit. And we allow it done because we're not there to witness it. You see, it's just like with circumcision. I said, if you think it's so right and proper, then why don't you perform it? Okay? Why are you letting a stranger do it? Why don't you do it? Like we think that the Old Testament says, the fathers went in there. Okay? The family did it. You didn't let a stranger do it. And we know now that the circumcision rite that they're talking about is a small droplet of blood for a blood ritual. It was not circumcision of the foreskin. Absolutely not. Okay? So obviously it was not that big of a procedure, so a family member would be able to do it. But what we do today, we go, oh, well, that's too complicated. It has to be a medical professional. And of course, the medical profession believes that they should do everything. Okay, so my take on it is, if you think it's that proper, then learn to do it yourself. Get checked out and do it yourself. Let you hear the screams. Let you strap the baby on that board. Let you take the chance of mutilating your child, just as the doctors do. And whole websites are dedicated to botched circumcisions and what it does to boys. Whole websites are dedicated to the trauma that boys go through. And those of us that have had it done to us, and praise Yahweh that at least they didn't botch it completely, we still had children, but we still went through the trauma. Every boy goes through the trauma. And of course, like all trauma, it will affect some more than others. Okay, that's true. There'll be some that don't seem to have much of an effect at all, and others will be greatly affected to it. Could it be why men today have such a hard time with commitment and relationships? Because most of the men I talk to are having a very difficult time. Now, part of it is women today are unhinged, okay? I'm just being honest. Not all of them, obviously, but there's a lot of them that are just completely off the rails. And that's causing part of the problem, but it's also us men. We're having issues. And this practice is a large part of those issues. And again, just like with this serum, this jab, why would you do it when there's potential for trauma and psychological damage and physiological damage to the most sensitive part of the body, and especially when it's got to do with recreating your own species, procreation? Why? Why would you do it? You see what I'm saying? What is gained by it? Nothing. What is lost by it? Much is lost. And we could go on here for an hour and a half just on that. What we lose when we perform these rites, these barbaric, Babylonian, paganistic rites, instead of doing what our father said to do. It's a crime. It's a sin. Transgression of his law is the definition of sin, by the way, folks. And his laws covered all this stuff. So, again, we allowed a stranger who worships Satan and has a book called a Talmud, which is satanic from one end to the other, and we allow them to influence us so that they can do their barbaric rituals to our children and to us in death, and to us in their hospital and medical facilities. We allow them to do that. Because you've had prostitutes behind pulpits tell you they're God's chosen people. Really? What's godly about them? Would somebody want to explain that to me? I know everybody has the perception, because the propaganda mill tells you that. Okay? But when it comes down to reality, and you actually stop and think about it, what's so special about them? Okay? They're liars, deceivers. They work to the detriment of our country. By the way, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, is here supposedly helping us with the building that collapsed near Miami. What do we need them here for that? Why do we need them here at all? Okay, again, our founding fathers are turning over in their graves, figuratively speaking, because we have allowed usurpers, aliens, pagans, Satanists, perverts to come in and decimate our Christian constitutional republic so that it does not resemble in the least what our founding fathers set up. It's gone, folks. So celebrate the 4th. Celebrate all the things you want to celebrate. It makes you feel good. But the truth of the matter is you lost your republic. It's gone. Because the republic was built and made on certain premises that you've allowed an alien to come in and completely obliterate. You can't control your borders. You can't control the production of your food. It is contaminated. You can't control the production of your medicines. Most of them come from other countries, including China, your enemy. Unbelievable. Even a lot of your electronics and heavy metal products and large, like steam turbines. I came from the electrical power industry. Most of the large steam turbines are produced outside of the United States. We developed that industry, by the way. We did. And yet, we don't produce our own large steam turbines anymore. By the way, the electricity that comes into your home and drives all these cute little devices that you use and you take for granted, all of you do. Don't tell me you don't. Every one of those generators is being turned by a turbine. The vast majority of them are steam turbines, and they're either steam is produced by the burning of coal, natural gas, or nuclear fission in a nuclear reactor. They just generate the heat to boil the water. That's what they're for. That's all. They just generate heat, turn water into steam, the steam turns the turbine turns the generator, and you get electricity in your house. Now, what a lot of people don't understand is there is no reserve. Do you understand that? Okay? Some people like to think that there's batteries out there, like you have in your flashlight, so that if the power company or the power lines go down, that there's some kind of magical reserve, like there is for oil and gas, and that, you know, you're going to have electricity for a while to get things straightened out. Folks, that's not true. Electricity, unfortunately for you, is used the instant it is made. Instantaneously, as it is made, it is used. And there is no storage. As soon as that power plant shuts offline, your electricity goes away instantly. Now, the only thing we do have today is a system of grids tied together with other power companies so that when the local plant trips offline, these other plants on this grid sort of balance it out and they all bump their power up to cover for that plant that tripped offline. So you, the consumer in your home, you barely notice it. But the fact of the matter is, if two or three or four power plants in your area all of a sudden go down, the grid can't handle that. So they're going to have to shut off electricity to certain areas, which is what they call a brownout, so that at least some of the grid can stay up to the full voltage and the energies available to your home. Okay? But if enough plants go offline, you have what they call a blackout, meaning you will not have electricity. Gone. Just that fast, it's gone. So a little lesson on electrical power for the folks that don't know it. We take it for granted because the system is that stable and has been historically that good at keeping the power coming to your house, but it is very vulnerable in a lot of ways, in a lot of ways. The point being, you should be prepared mentally and physically, especially with the way things are today, and our country is being infiltrated by our enemies, the communists, you should be prepared of what you're going to do when that stuff in the outlet in your room disappears, so that your refrigerator, your stove, your hot water, your freezer, your lights, your computers gone. Everything that runs with electricity gone. Unless you have a generator. Okay? I'm just saying if you're relying on the power company, again, you're relying on a corporation who's in bed with the enemy. We've talked about that. Corporations were created by the Jews who are communists because it gives central control. They're all about central control. Surely you know that by now. So if you're going to put all your eggs in one basket, meaning you're going to trust these corporations, whether it's medical, funeral, healthcare, electrical, gasoline, mechanical, home building supplies, if you're going to trust the corporation, just remember, they are in bed with the communists. And I'm going to tell you something. They're going to tie you putting that serum into your body to every single thing you do. That's what's coming. You know that. They're going to tie it to that. You're watching the development of the Mark of the Beast in your lifetime. You're watching it in real time right now. This is the greatest test of faith that I can believe the Father has ever put upon mankind. In biblical times, it was in small sections of the world. This time, it's worldwide, right now. It is happening worldwide. This fake pandemic is nothing more than communist martial law being imposed, hiding behind a so-called medical emergency when it does not exist. Okay? And let me tell you something else. There is no emergency that exists in this world that you need to be afraid of. There is none. There are no comets going to crash into the earth. There's no asteroids. There's no spaceships full of aliens. There's no groups of terrorists that just want to cut throats and murder people. There's no armies waiting to invade, just coming up out of the blue. Just angry people that hate you and want your land. Those are all done by governments. Now, are bad things happening and are there acts of terror? Yes, but what I'm telling you is, every single one of the things that you go to bed afraid of every night is a function of government. Governments run them, and governments and bankers fund them. Every single thing that you believe that you need to be afraid of is a creation of government, in collusion with the bankers, who again are predominantly Jewish. So we're seeing what Yahshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, told us about. They're here to steal, to kill, and to destroy. They want to rule the world. That is, Jewish authors have talked endlessly in their books and writings about this. Zionism was a political, Jewish political front with the stated purpose of setting up Jerusalem and Israel to be the center of world government. They've never said anything otherwise. Okay? I don't know what people are confused about. I mean, it's right in front of your face. Ella here says, if you do not have the seal of Yahweh, you have the mark of the beast. It's either or. Well, that's why Yahshua said, you're either in my camp, part of my sheep, or you're not. There's only two groups of people on earth today. So everybody gets up, well, Dan, what's going to happen to the other races, Dan? You don't understand something. In the biblical context, there's only two groups of people. Those that love Yahshua, who is Yahweh in a flesh body, there's only one God. Those who love, worship, and obey him, and the ones that don't. That's all there is, those two groups. The question is, which one do you belong? That's it. It doesn't matter about DNA. It doesn't matter about ancestry. None of those things matter when it comes down to those two groups. Which one are you in? I've told a lot of people, you know, they go, well, Dan, I think, you know, I read the scriptures and it's just going to be us white people. Well, it could be, but you don't know because it's not your decision. Thank God it's none of our decisions. It's the Creator's decision. He put this whole plan together. He created this earth. He created the firmament over this earth. He set the laws of nature in place. If you don't know that, you're just dumber than a box of rocks. Even the scientific community is now admitting. I just found another good book. Let me see if what the, which, the, right here. Actually, there's several good books. Somebody I admired for many, many years, Dr. D. James Kennedy, right here in Coral Ridge, Florida. He's deceased now. But he wrote a book in conjunction with James Nelson Black called Character and Destiny, A Nation in Search of Its Soul. Highly recommend it. Jim Nelson Black also wrote a book called The Free Fall of the American University, How Our Campuses Are Corrupting the Minds and Morals of the Next Generation. He wrote that in 2012. Excellent book. Okay. Dr. Lorraine Day wrote The Deliberate Destruction of America and the World and Who is Doing It and Why. 30 years of research for that one. And I was looking for this other one here. Jim Nelson Black also wrote When Nations Die, which was a excellent book because he is associated with the universities and he's a PhD. He did studies of languages from antiquity and particularly the writings of the common people. And when he found that all through history, what the common people were dealing with and writing about was very similar in all of the empires and nations when they died, were very similar defects. And he wrote the book when he realized that those defects were here in the United States of America. He wrote that book in the 1990s, folks, about the same time that Thomas Chittum wrote Civil War II, The Coming Breakup of America. So people have been trying to tell us, the warning signs have all been there, and we've been gaily going through our daily ritual of feasting and partying and not doing a damn thing to change it for decades and decades. And now it's time to pay the piper. You're living in it, folks. It's not decades away. It's here and it's now. And the reason I entitled it Come Out of Babylon, because Yahweh is opening doors for us to learn how to do things the old-fashioned way. Many people are going back to family farming, small family farms, and with modern technology and the ability to research and network with other people, we're finding that we can grow substantial amounts of organic food on very small tracts of ground, very small, less than an acre. You can feed a family of four on less than an acre of ground, and that includes your house and everything else on 1 acre of ground. 1 acre of ground. You can feed, actually, you can feed a family of six easily, easily with what we know now, with wholesome, healthy food. We can do it. We just have to work together and put our minds to it. That's the hardest part. It's not the ability to do it. It's getting our people to realize the seriousness of the situation. That is the hardest part. That is the greatest frustration for the watchman on the wall. Ralph says here, 2 years ago, I grew 600 pounds of potatoes. Okay, that jumped off my screen. Hold on a minute. That looked like I, okay, let's say here, okay, 2 years ago, I grew 600 pounds of potatoes on a 1,200 square foot plot. 1,200 square feet. That's like 30 by 40. 30 feet by 40 feet, folks. 30 feet by 40 feet. So that's the size of a garage. A good size two-car garage. A little bit bigger, maybe. That's all. 30 by 40 feet. Smaller than a house. And he was able to grow 600 pounds of potatoes. I've got family members looking into microgreens and aquaponics and aquaponics. Our friend Chris up in Virginia, he's got all kinds of information. And again, the information's out there. We can do this thing. We just have to decide where we want to go and decide to give up on this modern Babylonian bullshit system and say we're going to do it ourselves. We're going to learn how to make clothes ourselves again. We're going to learn how to be independent. There's a book out written by a couple that has not paid an electric bill in 40 years. It's on the internet. The book is exactly what we're talking about here. These people did it. They did it up in Canada. But their entire life, they lived off the grid. Their entire married life, over 40 years, they lived off the grid, the old-fashioned way. So don't say it can't be done. They grew their own food. They homeschooled. They had a solar panel. They had very little need for electricity. They learned how to do things the old-fashioned way. Like I said, my grandfather's dairy farm, we used to take the milk, and we kept the milk in the spring house. We had no modern refrigeration. We had a concrete little house that a spring ran through, and you sat the metal containers full of milk in the spring water. Year-round spring water in this little house, year-round. How easy is that? The point of it is, there's ways of doing almost everything we need to do. We just have forgotten those ways because the beast wants you to be dependent on the beast. Okay? It's as simple as that. Independent people can defy the beast, and the beast does not like that. And yet, that's exactly what Yahweh wants his children to do. He gave us life, he gave us brains, he gave us the ability to do miraculous things, including healing. In fact, the couple in Canada that lived 40 years off the grid, they took care of their health needs because at one point they lived 40 miles from any pharmacy. No, it was more than that. I think it was 80 miles they lived, and there were no roads up where they were at. They were over 80 miles away from any city, pharmacy, hospital, all that. And yet they were fine. They grew seven plants. That's all. Seven plants that provided their medicinal needs. Incredible. In fact, Yahweh, in the last couple of years, has been doing something with me, and part of it's because of this COVID, because I will not go to a clinic, a dentist, a hospital. I'm just not going to do it. And to be quite honest, I'd probably rather die. Of course, I don't want to. I think I have more work to do. But the point of it is, I was that serious about it. But Father put me through some very painful experiences. I think I told you about the abscess in my jaw, but I would not go to a clinic. And was it painful? Yes, it was. Part of the reason it was is because I did not have the knowledge that I have today. I eventually found it, but I went through 10 days of hell with that pain in my jaw because painkillers did not work. They made me ill. So I could not take painkillers, normal painkillers, even Advil. But I did find out you can make it through that. It's not comfortable, but if you've got the willpower, you can get through that. Your body will start to come through it. And then I found out things like cloves, a standard old clove. You put it up in your jaw, and it acts just like Novocaine. So when I had a sore tooth here recently, I just put cloves twice a day. I'd put a fresh clove up in my gum area of my gum, and the pain was gone. When the bursitis or the abscess in my jaw, near the end of it, I found out a tea leaf, a bag of tea, just regular old tea. I rolled it up. I got it wet. I rolled it up and put it in there, and it drew the pain. I could feel it drawing the pain out of my jaw after 10 days of excruciating pain. And all I had to do was put a tea bag in there. So do you think I'm ever going to forget about tea bags and what they can do? What tea? Tea is an astringent. That's what they call it in the holistic world. Almost all tea is. Astragalus is one of the best. Astragalus tea. But all teas have it. And what that means is an astringent, it draws. It draws poisons and it draws pain out of the body. So just putting it along my jawline, that those tea leaves drew that poison out of my jaw. Okay? Guest 1488 says, tea, blah. I'm going to tell you something. When you were in as much pain as I was and I could not eat, I could barely drink, and I had no food for 10 days, I was almost willing to try almost anything. In fact, I even came close to going to a clinic. I was that tired of it and that sore, pain. But I also prayed fervent prayer that Father would give me a sign that I can get through this, because I did not want to go. And shortly after, that's when I found out about the tea bags and some peroxide things I was doing wrong and things like that. The point of it is we learn, and sometimes we have to learn the hard way, don't we? So real quick here at the end, I just put down some things right here. Do not, please do not get that shit put in your body. No testing, no diapers on the face. Do not comply. They are harmful to you. Okay, that's obvious. Plenty of doctors, plenty of virologists, research people. It's all over the place if you care. The main point is don't do it. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Benjamin Franklin said that, and it's so true. So don't do it. Every parent should be looking into homeschooling today. Every parent. Get them the hell out of the public system. It's an absolute joke. Get back to the keep it simple, silly, which is the KISS principle, keep it simple, silly, and back to basics. That's where we need to go. The homegrown food and family farms, that's where we need to go. Okay? Anybody has any ideas along that line, give me a call. I know lots of people ready to go. We just have to find the right location and somebody that either can donate some funds or donate the land. Or if they have a farm already and just looking for people willing to work the farm with them and defend it. I want to go there. And I know others like me who want to go there. So if you know somebody that's got a large farm, it's too much for them to handle, and they're willing to let good, honest believers come there to scratch out a little bit of dirt and grow our own food and help them with their farming projects in exchange for that, and we'd also fight and defend it with them. Something has to happen. Do not, under any circumstances allow them to take your weapons away from you, folks. The Second Amendment. That is a protection for a God-given right, okay? The Constitution can be burned. It has nothing to do with your God-given rights. Your ability to defend and protect your own lives, and by the way, the government has no authority in a healthcare matter. None. Okay? There is no such thing as having authority in a healthcare matter. They don't have it. You can give it to them out of your ignorance, but you'll wish you hadn't. They have no business in education. They have no business in healthcare. They had no right to force insurance on us. Again, it's a sign of our lack of faith and turning away from our Father. But under no circumstances should you give up your weapons of self-defense. Everybody needs to get involved because the scripture tells us that be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. We got a lot of hearers, a lot of people here, and not too many people are doers. And we're seeing the results of that lack of involvement right now. And again, we have the Israeli Defense Force people here in Florida. The globalists are making their move. So if there's any so-called white hats out there, hey, you better get off your ass and get moving pretty quick, because this thing's getting really ugly fast for all of us that are watching the reality of it. It's getting ugly really fast. So now in the end, we all know Father is not going to allow these people to get away with this crap, but that does not change the fact that we should be involved. We are to resist evil and fight evil every single day of our lives. That's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Okay, anybody have anything to call in about? Nope, no calls, so we're going to sign off for the night. And again, we want to thank everybody for being here. Our words and our topics that we talk about here are filtering out amongst our brothers and sisters. The evidence of that is coming in every day. So we may be small, but Yahweh accomplishes great things with few in number and small in number. He always has. It's not the number. That's what I told King David, it was a sin to count the number of men in his army. It's not the numbers that is important. It's the heart. It's the spirit of our people. We can, as he told us, you can perform greater acts than even he did. You and I are capable of that. It's just a matter of getting our heads screwed on straight. To Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters and the fact that you're opening the eyes of so many of our people. The enemy gets more vile and more wicked every day, but the righteous are getting more righteous, and those that are willing to stand in the gap and to prevent more wicked things from happening to our innocent people, that is growing, and we thank you for that. We pray soon that you would come back, Father, and sit upon the throne. You're the only one worthy. And establish your kingdom here on this earth. And with that establishment, may these wicked monsters that walk in shoe leather, may they be utterly destroyed and done away with, so that the righteous can live in peace and prosperity, and that we can live under your law, the only law that works. We look forward to that day, and again, we ask for forgiveness for our sins and shortcomings, that you would walk with us and talk with us, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, wash us in the blood of the Lamb, wash away the sin and the dirt and the dross that we often pick up from this nasty world. Make us pure in spirit, pure in your sight, and may we be servants to our brothers and sisters, especially in these latter days. Always protect us, Father, from our enemies, and we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.